Start recording. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our continuing Blender scripting tutorial. In the public HTML area of my personal account at CNL, which I'll put into the chat here. Hopefully no typos. Let me double check that that is correct.
I just copy the link.
Tutorials. Okay, I put it in there again. Okay, because I was almost done typing it. Okay, so at that link, you'll find a file called tutorial2020.1104.blend. So that was the version of the project as we left it last time. You can grab that if you don't already have your own version of that. And we're going to pick up where we left off with that. And Lupe and I have been working on the curriculum for today a little bit. So what we have done, I will start sharing my screen. This is what the blend file looks like as we left it, I believe. We had played around with a couple different versions of an add-on and the current most advanced version of the add-on we made is called add-on add icos panel.py, which is this script right here. And if I run the script, what it does is it adds a new tab to the tool shelf with the parameters to control our add-on and an operator, a button that activates an operator that adds random icospheres as many as we want. If I keep clicking on it, keeps adding more and more using a random number generator. And the undo function works, so I can undo all that. Okay, and this is the script of the add-on over here. So what we're going to do now is, so this add-on exists here only in this text widget in Blender. And in order to make it run and activate itself, I have to hit run script. If I do it again, I don't get another tool shelf because Blender's smart enough to know that it's already in the tool shelf. But what if I want this to be a real add-on that is really part of the set of add-ons that Blender recognizes, rather than having it be as a script that's inside this blend file only? How would we do that? So we're going to start off by doing that. I'll walk you through how to do that and how to install it after we've made it into a real add-on. How do we install it? And then from there we'll do some other things as it comes to us. Okay, so here, you know, what's nice about this the text interface in Blender is I can type in Python code here. I can also in the Python console in Blender, I can type in, you know, Blender commands in here, other Python commands in here, as we have seen previously. But now, you know, and this is good for prototyping and this sort of thing. But then at some point, you might be ready to make this into a real add-on that you want to share with others, or just have it be part, a recognized part of the Blender interface, that in any Blend project that you open, you'll have that as a tab in here, even though you don't have the script as part of the text widget in your Blender project. Okay, makes it kind of officially part of Blender and exists outside of your Blender project and can be a part of any Blender project. Okay, so how do we do that? So here we've got our Python code that has been typed in to the text widget. What we need to do is save this text as a file. So I say, let me do that again. I go into text and I say save as, and then I get a file navigator widget. And on my setup, I have it by default here pointing to the Blender scripting tutorial directory that I've been making. So let's put it in that directory, but I'm going to make a subdirectory for this add-on, and I'll call this the add icos add-on, maybe. I can put that as part of the name. And if I hit enter there, it says create the new directory. I'll say yes. So now it's going to put the add-on add icos panel.py in this subdirectory called add icos add-on. I'll say save as. Okay, and then over here in my terminal window, I've already cd'd into the directory where this is, the Blender scripting tutorials directory, and I'll type ls there. And you can see in here we've got Blend files from our previous tutorials, but then we also have this add icos add-on subdirectory. So if I cd into there, I then have, I can now edit this in VI is what I like, but as I'm old school, highly recommend a text editor. If you're on a Mac or Windows, I think it's also available, but I don't think it's available in Linux. There's a really nice programming text editor called Sublime Text. And I know Miriam Ordian really likes it, and other people I know really like it. But I'm old school and I use VI. Okay, so here's our script. Looks just like it did in the other place. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna turn this this directory, this whole directory, we're gonna turn it into something that can be installed as a Blender add-on. And what I'm gonna demonstrate applies to any Python project that you make, any Python code in a certain directory, if you put that Python code in a certain directory that you name, that you give a name to, there's a way to turn that whole directory into a Python package that is recognized by the name of the directory that you give. And so so I carefully chose this name, add icos add-on, because that's what I want the add-on to be called, or this Python package to be called. And all you need is a directory that has, you know, the name that you want to have in it, the Python code that you want to be part of your Python package. And all you have to do is add one file. It can even be an empty file. So I'm going to use the touch command in Unix to make a new file that's going to be empty. And the file needs to be called underscore underscore init underscore underscore dot py. And so if you have a directory with Python code in it and a file in it called, you know, init.py, Python will recognize the code in here as code that's part of a package called add icos add-on, which is kind of cool. So, and I think in the case of, I'm going to double check something here.
Tom, can I ask something? Does this happen automatically, or do you have to tell Python to update its
Well, if you want, if you want to be able to import it generally, this directory and its contents need to be in a place that Python can find in its Python path, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or Python, yeah, Python path, yeah, or something like that. But we're going to be using this within the Blender world, and I can show you in a moment how to do that. But we're going to be using this in the Blender world, and Blender does that for us automatically, as you'll see in a moment. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I keep looking off to the side because I have two monitors, and all your little thumbnail images are over there. So I'm not looking away from you, I'm actually looking at you when I do that. It's good to see you, Melanie.
Nice to see you too, Tom.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see, what was I gonna do? There it is. Yeah, Python path. Yeah, so it's called the special place. The special environment variable you would make is called Python path. I use CSH as my shell, not Bash. In Bash, you would say export Python path, blah, blah, blah. And okay, that's doing that. Yeah, I think it's called Python path. Yeah. Okay, so let's see, there was something else I was gonna look at here to double check one thing. Checking the Neuropil tools package add-on to see how I did it there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can, well, we might have to play with this a little bit to make this really nice. Let's see. I think I'm gonna change the name of this add-on, add icos panel.py. Well, I don't know. Let's just leave it the way it is. let's see if we can make this work. I think what you have to do in this case is in your init file, say import add on add icos panel. Add on add icos panel.py. So I think in your init file, you can leave it empty, in which case all the bits and pieces are there. But I think if we say import add-on add icos panel.py, then Blender will be happier with that, maybe. But we can try it both ways. We can try it both ways. Okay. I'm gonna check one more thing here. How do we zip. What I'm looking at over here is a make file. That's a more advanced thing that we'll get to eventually, but I'm just peeking at it for some hints of what I want to show you here. Yeah, I think maybe this will work just like this. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a save as and give it today's date so that we're picking up from here. Today is the 16th. Okay. And I'm going to quit from Blender. Let's see. Blender, no, BlueJay. Where is? I'm trying to remember where that goes. Does anyone remember on a Mac where Blender stores its user, custom user add-ons? I thought I knew where it was.
It's not in the same place where NeuroPills are. NeuroPills is.
Well, I'm going to show, eventually I'm going to show that. So there's basically two ways of installing add-ons and making it be part of Blender. One is it could be your own personal set of add-ons that are yours and yours alone. And they're not system-wide. And I want to show you that first, because if you're developing just for yourself, you might want to make your own personal add-ons. And then the other place you can install add-ons is in the Blender distribution that you've installed. So then it's really like part of the Blender distribution. And if you were to make a copy of your Blender distribution and give it to someone else, they would get everything that you've put there. And that's how we've done it for MCell and Cell Blender. When we distribute on the mcell.org website, you know, MCell and Cell Blender, we give it to you as a Blender distribution that we've customized so that you can install just one file. You know, unzip one file and you have everything, and you don't have to keep then adding another thing to it, which is really puts a lot of burden on the users to be able to do all that. So we prefer to give out a distribution, right? But if you're just making your own personal add-ons, I want to show you first how to install this in your own personal area. And I'm trying to see where that is on a Mac. Let me do a web search. Let me do a quick web search over here.
Mm-hmm. When I try to install the plugin, like through the zip file, it got some password printed on the terminal.
What was that, Adam? I didn't quite.
Yeah, that when you install the plugin from the zip file, then at least on Linux, some paths are printed on the terminal.
Ah, okay. So I know where I know the path. So from the command line. So is you're saying there's a command line option?
No. At least in my case, when I went through the plugin installation, it wrote modules installed from. Something into something.
Okay. Let me take a look at that. Yeah, okay. So if I go in here and I say user preferences.
Right.
And then install Atom from file.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And Okay. But I don't have an add-on that I want to install.
Where was it?
Yeah, from a file. Maybe we will have one in a moment. Okay, let's do that, and then it'll end up somewhere, and I'll be able to show you where that was, right? Okay. Yeah, because when I say install add-on from file, it expects a zip file that has in it a directory and then the Python in the subdirectory. And when I do that, it's going to install it in my personal place, not in the system-wide place, I think. Or there might be an option. Okay. So let's make a zip file. Can't remember the there's options. That's what I was doing over here to look at this make file. Tools head. The make file was a clue for what I want to do. I want to say zip ops. Okay. Zip files. Yeah. Zip files, dollar sources. Yeah, it's kind of a painful thing, but okay, but we'll do it this way. Okay. I'm gonna do a little trick here. I'm gonna make a subdirectory. I'm gonna make a link. To the current directory. This is a link to the current directory, and the link is going to be called add icos add-on. Link minus s, right? So what I've done is I've made a link called add icos icon add-on, which is the same as the name of this directory. And this link links to here, to where I am. And this is going to let me do something a little bit clever. So if you've never made a link before, a link is like a shortcut. And if I type ls minus al, I can see it will reveal the details about this thing. So add icos add-on, the at sign means it's a link. This means it's a link to the current directory, dot. Okay, if I cd into there, I'm right where I was, right? Because it's, okay. And what I can do with this is I can say zip minus x minus o minus 0 minus d minus o.
Did you want to do minus x?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, x. Thank you. People are paying attention. Okay, I'm using these zip options. And then you name what you want to call it. So it's going to be called add icos add-on.zip. And then the zip files, the names of the files. So it's going to be add icos add-on / init and add icos add-on add icos panel dot py. Okay, because that's what this says to do. So for Neuropil tools, in the make file, we had this variable called sources, which is just a list of all the sources. And it says dot slash in front of each one of these. So just to be extra careful here, I'll make sure I put a dot slash in front of those. Probably doesn't matter, but I'm going to do it. And so if I do that, then I now have a zip file called add ICOS addon.zip. And okay, so, and I can't remember the command. Since I don't use zip very much, that's why I'm kind of struggling here with it. I use tar, the Unix tar command mostly. Does anyone remember the command to tell zip to show you what's in a zip file, but without extracting it? Maybe Adam remembers how to do that. No? Yeah, exactly. Who uses zip? So the reason why Blender is using zip is because they're trying to be cross-platform. And zip is available in Unix, but it's also available in Windows. Comes with Windows. The ability to zip and unzip files. Maybe it's zip minus L add ICOS. Maybe that makes a list. No, I don't know what it, I don't know how to do it. Okay, it doesn't matter. We now have a zip file that contains the files that we're looking for, because up here when we told it to, you know, to do the zip command, it said adding this file and adding that file. It says stored 0%, but probably the files are so small, it can't even count what percent that is. Okay, that's what I'm hoping.
So Tom, can you explain why we did the symbolic link into the same directory?
This is not required, but it was an extra fancy thing. What this lets us do is within this directory, we have the Python that's part of our package. But I want to make a zip file that without having to cd up one directory, make a zip file move the zip file back into the directory where it's supposed to be. This lets me kind of do it all in one place.
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just and what maybe it doesn't matter so much for such a small package, and maybe it doesn't matter for this first round of installing it. But later, when we want to do this over and over and over again, as we develop this, you know, so when you have an add-on that you want to be really part of your environment, but you want to be able to edit it and reinstall it again, and then make some more tweaks and then reinstall it again and make more tweaks and reinstall it again. To make that convenient and easy to do, it's useful to have a special command or a special way of doing it that uses what's called a make file and using the make language. Because then you can say make install my package. Right, and this way you can be editing your package, and then when you're done editing it, you can say make install my package, just like that, and all the commands for zipping it up, putting it in the right place, and installing it is all done in one smooth motion with the commands in the scripting language in the make file. The make is a Unix command that uses a special language called the make language, and it reads from a file called makefile. Make by default looks for a file called makefile when you use it, and it's a scripting language, and you can put all the commands in there so that after you figure out what you want to do, you put all the commands in there, and then you don't have to remember it again what to do. And we're going to get to that in the process here. But just to give you a little preview of what that's about. So I'm kind of, by adding this link, I was kind of jumping ahead one step, getting us ready for when we want to make a make file and do this with make. And when we do it that way, You won't have to tell Blender to reinstall the add-on. If you've already told Blender to install it once, then when you replace the files in the place where it's looking for them with new files, it will just use the new files. So after you've installed it one time, you might never have to use the install add-on within Blender ever again, right? You can just keep replacing it with the latest one. And the make command would let you replace the files very easily. So when you're doing more advanced software development, these are good skills to learn about. And it's part of what I want to teach you, right? Okay. So now we have our zip file, and now in Blender, and that zip file is in a form that Blender should be happy with, I think. We can now go to, let me just look at one thing. No. Okay, this says it's in category C. The BL info is in category C. So that's the category that it will eventually show up in the add-on utility in the user preferences. But since we haven't opened the zip file yet, it doesn't know that, right? So we're going to say install add-ons from file. And now I can navigate to the directory. It's not smart enough to know that we've been there before. So we're going to go to the projects MCell models, Blender scripting tutorial. That's where I've been putting things. Here's our AddIcos add-on, and in here is our zip file. And then when I say install add-on from file, it's now done it. It installed it, and it's in category scene, which I don't see over here. Huh. Why don't I see it? Name, add random icos, category scene.
Yeah, I tried it, and for some reason it's like ignoring the import. And one thing that helped when I copied all the code from the add-on at icospanel.py into the init.py, then it worked.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna try next. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to remove the init.py that we made initially, and I'm going to rename the add-on add icos panel.py. I'm going to rename that to init.py. So now our whole add-on is in the file called init.py. There's probably another way to organize this, but this is how we'll start. And the name of the add-on will be taken from the name of the directory we put it in, which is AddIcos add-on. Okay. And so now we need to remake our zip file. Back space up here. And now our add-on, our zip file is only going to contain the init.py. Okay. And now in our user preferences, I think you can say add from file. Here's our zip file, our new copy of it, install. Okay. I think it did it. Yeah. And I think when you install a new one, by default, it puts you in the place where it is in this list. And you saw at first, since I had scrolled down, we didn't see anything. But you have to remember to scroll up to the top. And if I if I open the little triangle, it shows us some information about it. And it says it's going to be in the system-wide place and not in our custom place. So why would it do that? I'm not sure why it would be doing that and not installing it in our custom user custom place. So this still isn't getting at what I wanted to show you, but it's here. So I can click on the little checkbox here and that activates it. And then I can say save user settings. And now when I quit from Blender and restart Blender, by default, now in the tool shelf, I've got the add-on. It's already activated and it's already in our tool shelf. Remember, we called it, that the script says to name itself Hello World Panel, right? Or, to name its tab, we told it to name itself Hello World Panel instead of something, like this, right? Because we were just playing around. Okay, so what we've just done now is made our internal script into an external add-on, and we have installed it in Python. I mean, installed it into Blender. And so now if I now look in user preferences, we saw a little while ago that there was no scene category, but now there is a scene category because our add-on add random icos said it should be in the scene category. So these category names are not necessarily built into Blender, and you can make up your own categories. And if you put that category name in the in your add-on, Blender will, when you install the add-on, Blender will look at what category you want it to be in and add a new, if it's a new one, it'll add a new button here with the name of your category in it. So for example, there's a category here called cell modeling. Well, Blender doesn't come with that, but we created that for use with Cell Blender and Neuropil tools. So both of these put themselves in the cell modeling categories. And so then they appear. That's kind of cool. And if you want to deactivate the add-on, you can just, deactivate it like that. But we're going to, I think something wasn't happy there. Okay. Not sure why it wasn't happy about that. We probably didn't do the unregister the right way in our script. Okay, so user preferences, let's make sure. Yeah, okay, we see it here. The Hello World tab is still here. Oh, and it said that because it crashed a minute ago. Okay, I'm gonna quit. Okay, so the next thing we would wanna do with our script is there were a couple of things that Lupe wanted to take a look at. Maybe the next thing to do is what if we wanted the script to make temporary files? What if the script was doing some processing, our add-on, what if our add-on was doing some processing where it needed to make temporary files for itself and then clean up its temporary files. So there's a how would we make our script do that? So there's in Python, there's a couple of different ways of making temporary files. And in Neuropil tools, we're not really doing it because we started Neuropil tools a long time ago. We hadn't learned certain things. So I think what I'm going to try to show you today is the right way to do it, the way Neuropil tools should be doing it. Because built into Python are mechanisms in the Python. There's a Python package that lets you make and clean up temporary files. And Python the way Python does it is in the right way for the type of operating system you're using. So if you're on a Linux machine, the temporary files will be in one place. If you're on a Mac, they'll be in the place that Mac likes to have temporary files put. And if you're on Windows, your temporary files will be put in the place where Windows likes to have temporary files. And there's a couple different ways of doing it. Let me get, and I can't quite remember all the details. So we're going to look on the web, and maybe unless Adam has it off the top of his head with how to do that, but I'm going to look for Python temporary files. Okay. So I'm doing a search for, spell it right, Python temporary files. And it keeps finding the same thing because Google's smart and knows what I meant to type. There's a package called tempfile. And this says it's for Python 3.9.1, but let's go all the way down to Python 3.5 because Blender 2.79, the Python that's built into Blender 2.75 is Python 3.5. Just to make sure that we're getting the right documentation. So there's a couple of different ways of making temporary files. But we start by, I think we have to say import temp file. Yeah, it doesn't say that here, but you can see each one of these things here says temp file. And we can play around with this in the Blender. In the Blender scripting interface, we get the console. And down here, we can say import temp file. And now we have the temp file module at our disposal. And let's see, temporary directory. We probably want to start by making a temporary directory because maybe our package, you might have a bunch of temp files that you want to make, and to keep them all organized and together, it might be better to put them in a directory, and then clean up the whole directory when you're done. Okay. So temporary directory. Okay. And suffix equal none, prefix equal none, dir equal none. So I think if you just call it with the defaults, it'll make up its own names for things. So you don't even have to make a name for the temporary directory because it's temporary. Maybe you don't need to care about what name it gets, right? And then the directory can be explicitly cleaned up by calling cleanup. right? So you can make temporary things and then clean them up when you're all done. And okay, temporary directory. So the resulting object can be used as a context manager. The directory name can be retrieved from the name attribute of the returned object. Okay, so this is like a constructor for a class. So I've never used this exactly before. So we're going to be kind of doing this together as we go. So I'm gonna say td equal temp file dot temporary directory with no arguments. I don't know if the font is big enough for you to see easily down there. Let me know if I should make it bigger. Td equal temp file temporary directory. Okay. So that just said I can say td.name. Okay. So my td, I've made an object, a Python object called td with this constructor up for the class. And what we learned from over here is that let's see, that the name can be retrieved from the name attribute of the returned object. Okay. Okay, so over here we can see td.name is var folders 3w, a whole bunch of gibberish, because it's temporary, right? And these things that are created here are guaranteed to be unique, so that you don't have to worry about crashing into yourself or overwriting other people's stuff or even overwriting your own stuff, right? And I think td.name, okay. And temp file make s temp. This makes a temporary file. Okay. And this makes a temporary directory. Okay. And this return the name of the directory used for temporary files. Okay. And here's some examples. All right. Create a temporary file using a context manager. So here they make a temporary file as FP. Right. These are different examples. Okay, so here they didn't do it by making the temporary directory. They did it just by making temporary files. And here's an example, but at the very end here, there's an example where they use the temporary directory constructor. Print. Okay. Temp name. Create it using the context manager. Okay. All right. Then they have some deprecated things, right? So I guess it depends on if you want to make temporary directories or not, or temporary files or not, and whether you want to use this constructor or not.
I personally, one of the issues that I have is so that I have an executable that I will put in that folder, right? And that executable writes, I mean, so the output of of that is going to be in that folder. So I don't have kind of a way to send that output to a temporary file. And I think this is going to generate issues in some operating system, right?
Now there's a way there. One thing that's great, I hear what you're saying, Lupe, and you're right. Unless you do things in a particular way, you can end up with that situation. But what's really nice about Python is there are Python commands that let you put things together in a way that is platform independent. So you can use Python commands in a way that, well, it will work on Windows or Mac or Linux without you having to change your Python code. And also there are ways of calling external commands. I think in your case, what you're talking about, Lupe, is say wanting to do the skeletonization using cgal. And depending on how you're calling the cgal commands, let's say you're calling the cgal commands as command line tools, right? So are you using a popen or an os.system call?
Yes.
So there, if you're using, which way are you doing it? So if you use popen, you can tell popen to set up a certain working directory.
Oh.
And so if you make your temporary directory with this temp file and then give the name of that temporary directory to the open command, to the popen command as a working directory, then your cgal will be operating as if it was called from within that directory. And when it writes its files, it will write them in that directory.
I see. And so I have to.
Maybe we can do an example of that right here. So I'm not sure I like using this temporary way, directory way of doing it. Let's do it this way. There are no race conditions. Directory is readable, writable, searchable, only by the user ID. And the user is responsible for deleting the temporary directory and its contents when done. Okay, returns the absolute path name to the new directory. So when you do it, okay. So I'm gonna get rid of this TD thing by deleting it with the Python del command. So now TD is gone. So if I type TD, it says there's no such thing as TD anymore, okay. Now I can say I'm going to make something called tdir equal temp file dot make d temp. Is that what it was called? T-E-M-P. Okay, I keep bouncing back and forth here a little bit. T-E-M-P. Okay, and now if I type tdir, it's this full path. And that directory really exists, right? It didn't just make up this name and give me just back a string to it. It actually made this directory. And what we saw over here in the documentation for it, it says the user is responsible for deleting the directory when done, right? So we have to do our own cleanup with this one. But that's okay, we know the name of the directory. And so we could do an os.system and then say, command. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. So that is now our temporary directory. Lupe, you said you used popen to do your command, or did you use os.system?
I'm trying to find that.
Let's do it a couple different ways. let's do it a couple different ways. And I have 15 minutes. I know we're running a little bit late, but I have 15 minutes till my next meeting is going to start. I just got an email saying they're going to start 15 minutes late. So I think in 15 minutes we can finish showing this. So let's do it this a really simple way. Let me show you a really simple way. You can say os.system. I have to say import os right here. And also over here, let's see. I'm gonna get this directory name. And over here, I'm gonna cd to that directory. And here we are in that directory over here. And if I cd up one, you can see there's a whole bunch of temporary directories in this space that the Mac has invented, right? But I can cd back to this space. Here we are, pwd. So we're in this directory called var folders 3w49 blah, 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 slash t, slash tmp, blah, 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 right? That's where we are. So I'm gonna keep this handy so we can look at the results of what we're gonna do here. Okay, so what I can do is I can say os.system, and then in my system command, I can say cd to %s semicolon, and then I'm going to say touch foobar like this, and then I'm going to say %teeter. So can you see what I'm doing here?
Make your font a little bigger.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's pretty tiny. It is pretty tiny. All right, let's see. This is a cool thing in Blender. I didn't realize this until not too long ago. In the interface, you can scale the size of the fonts and icons. So I can put 1.5 here, and now, or I meant to say 1.5. Is that big enough?
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Thanks.
Okay. So I said os.system, and then in single quotes, I said cd to %s. %s is going to get filled in with the value of teeter, our temporary directory name. And then I said semicolon, and then I said touch foobar. So touch is the Unix command that lets you make an empty file. So I'm just going to demonstrate how you can have that there's a way to cd into a certain directory and then do some work there, all as part of one command. Okay, so if I go over here and I hit ls, you can see there's nothing in that directory right now. Let me do a clear, and I'll type ls again. There's nothing in there right now. And then I can hit that. And the zero means that it completed successfully. And if I do ls, then I have this file called foobar, right? Or if I want to do something a little fancier, I think I can say echo I think I'm allowed to do this. This is gonna put the string my stuff in the file called foobar. And I think that works. So I still have foobar, but now I can say cat foobar and it says my stuff in it. So this is one way that you can make commands that operate in your temporary directory that you made and make files that have names that you control, because your script might need to know the names of those files in a controlled way. And then when we're all done to clean up, you can say, if we wanted to clean up, I could say RM minus RF percent S. You have to be very careful with this because you're actually removing files, and you can, yeah, you have privileges. Your script has privileges to do anything that you can do, right? So you could remove your whole home directory accidentally this way. And so if I do this, then it's done. And if I type ls here, there's nothing here. But even this directory, if you're on a Linux machine and you typed ls, when you're in that directory, it would say error, there is no such directory. But on the Mac is friendlier than that. I think it's lying to you. By being friendly, I think it's lying. It gives you the impression that this directory really exists, right? But it doesn't, right? Because if I go back here to our cd command where I said cd into this directory, it's now going to say no such file or directory, because I just deleted it. Even though here on the command line, it looks like my prompt still says I'm here. And if I type pwd, it says you're nowhere. You're in no man's land. So I'm in no man's land right now. But I can cd up one directory. So that's a nice thing about the Mac. The Mac lets you cd up one directory even when you're in no man's land. Whereas in Linux, if you said cd up one directory from no man's land, it would say error, right? So, and on Windows, and all this would work on Windows as well, except you couldn't use cd to here and do that. This is a Unix way or a Mac way of doing this, but not an official Windows way of doing it. But there are Python commands that you can use to do this same kind of stuff in a platform independent way. But to make our tutorial quicker this afternoon, I didn't do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, Jim, if we have 2 minutes more, I still kind of can put these two things together. So I have my executable in the folder where my Python scripts are.
Yeah.
And I'm using actually not the OS, but the process
popopen call. Are you doing
yes.
sub process call?
Yes, exactly. So
there is a way. I wanted to start this way because this is maybe easier to see it first, and then the subprocess call is a more advanced way of doing it. Let's see. So I have to say import a subprocess as SP. I usually like to just call it SP for subprocess. Okay, and then I can say sp.call, and I can't remember all the arguments for subprocess. So let's go back over here. I use subprocess a lot, but I've kind of forgotten about it. I always have to remind myself. Okay, there's a lot of different. Am I in the right place? Yeah. Okay. Subprocess, communicate. Where's call? Can't find it. They've reorganized the documentation a little bit. So the call wasn't where I expected to find it. Call. terminate call, 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 call. There's only four instances. I don't see call. Not sure why. It could be that it's only in not sure if this is using the subprocess manual. Let's see. Call. Okay, now we're in a different set of documentation. Let's see, is that the one? Check call. There's something called check call and check output. Let's look for call with. Okay, check call. Subprocess call. Here we go. So in call, it looks like all you can do is have your arguments. I think this is then a list of stuff, I think. And then standard in, standard out, standard error, shall echo false, timeout, none. So this one. This is an older high-level API. So call is older and it's not as flexible as the newer ways of doing it. So there's no, it looks like there's nothing in here for setting up your working directory. But there is a way to set up a working directory. And you would have to use a different subprocess method, working directory. Okay. Working directory. This is in, where are we now? I think what you would want to do, the most flexible one is the subprocess popen. This one lets you still have the same, you know, arguments, and you still have standard in, standard out, standard error, blah, blah, blah. But you can set up the current working directory. And so you would use popen and you would say current working directory equal the tempter that you made, right? So we could actually try to do this right now. We have 2 minutes, okay. I'm going to say proc equal sp dot p open. And I always forget how the args work. It's a list. Okay, it's a list. And it's going to say echo. And then let's see. Oh, well, that's not going to, I'm not sure how to do that, but, someone's giving me a crank call on my cell phone. Touch, and then foobar again, I think, and then I'm going to say CWD equal teeter, except I can't use, I can't do that yet. I'm gonna make a copy of this and get rid of that. Let's see, make sure that's still there. Yeah, okay, that's still there. Because I have to redo the teeter command, which is back here, teeter. I have to redo that to get a different tempter because I deleted it, right? So now I have to get a different tempter. And then I should be able to do this. No. Oh, import. This somehow this got messed up. And I think I can say, let's see, our tdir was this thing. Now I have to cd into that thing. And there's foobar. So it worked. Yeah. And you can do more, you know, be as fancy in here as you want. But I just wanted to be really simple. So the, you know, so these are important, what we went over today are important, you know, practical matters for making scripts that are really gonna be doing really heavy lifting, powerful things later. And these are kind of the building blocks you need for putting that together. They might be, to some, they might be afterthoughts or things that you have to deal with. Okay, I've got my script, it does all the heavy lifting. Now how do I make it, you know, be usable by people other than me so that they can use it on their system and get the temporary files and they get cleaned up automatically and they don't have to know about it. It's happening behind the scenes, nice and clean. Those might be afterthoughts, right? But here we're thinking of them right up front and I'm showing you these things right up front. And okay, so that's, I think that's all the time we have for today. And we had the recording that we'll post for you. And next time what we'll do is some other things that Lupe had on our list, which is for example, if your package that you're distributing consists of a lot of subcomponents, like Neuropil Tools does, right? Some of those subcomponents are other Python things, and maybe other subcomponents are like compiled C code commands that you want to run. How can your script and you want to distribute those things for, you know, have them installed for yourself, but also distribute it for others to use. How can your add-on discover where itself is installed and where it can find its resources that it needs to find? And this is more of the beauty of Python that lets you use Python itself to tell you about itself, right? So this includes your Python package that you wrote. When your package runs, in this case, Blender is running it for you, right? And it's installed somewhere. Well, there's a way for your Python script after, when Blender runs your Python script, it's running it from somewhere. Your script can introspect itself as it's running and say, where am I? What directory am I in, right? And where can I find my other pieces of myself, right? It can, there's a way, really slick ways in Python to reveal that information. Okay, so that's it for today. I will stop sharing and stop recording. Where's the record button?
There. Thank you.